We have the Great Commission, and the Lord has given it to us, and we are to complete it. Now, I want to go with you to Matthew chapter 24 this morning. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but very important. The world will go its way. We are in the world. We're not of the world. We need to remember that. The world has its way of doing things. And the world is going to try to infect the church, and the devil is going to try to infiltrate the church, and in different areas he is already doing this and having some success with some people, with the different doctrines, the different winds of doctrines that are coming through, and they're not only here in the United States, but around the world, things that would move you off from the truth of the Word of God. And the main thing about the truth of the Word of God is Jesus is the only way, and there is no other way. No matter what anybody else says, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is everything. He is God manifest in the flesh. And that is the good news of the gospel that the world needs to hear. And the devil will try to stop that message any way that he possibly can. But we have been commissioned by the Lord. You and I, every one of us that is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, we have been commissioned to take the message to all the world. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached or announced in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. It says to all nations. It doesn't say to the nations that you want to take it to, or the nations that you think need to receive it, or those that you like. It says that it will be preached in all the world to all nations, and then the end will come. Nations is not borders. Nations is groups of people, cultural groups, language groups, people that group together for similar characteristics and so forth and live in like tribes and so forth. And this is where the gospel needs to be preached. All of the people groups of the world need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not what the devil is wanting. He will resist. He will try every trick in the book. And mainly that is thoughts. Changing the truth, twisting it, perverting it, causing it to be changed enough so that someone will not know the truth. Deceivers and imposters will increase. Evil men and imposters will come. Jesus said it. Paul said men will come with different messages. Jesus said false Christ will rise. The world is full of different thoughts. But only the truth comes from God, and it's contained in this book that you have received. It hasn't changed one iota, one little dot, one little tittle has not been changed until today. We have a faithful translation of the Word of God from the very beginning. God made sure, our Lord Jesus made sure that His Word came down to us without any changes, so we could understand what His will was. So we could learn, train our minds to hear the Spirit of God within us and to walk with Him and to finish the Great Commission, the purpose of God for your life on this earth. There's a lot of things that we do, ladies and gentlemen, in our lives. We have to live here. We have to eat. We have to take care of our families. We have to do many things. We have to work. The Bible says, he that does not work, should not eat either. Supposed to work. But what is work? So many thoughts that we have that are not the truth of the Word of God. You work to supply and to serve other people. And you get salary out of it? Yes. The worker is worthy of his salary. But that's not the only reason we work. That's why the world works, but that's not why the church works. The church works because they're serving other people. And you're worthy to get the salary, yes. But you cannot limit yourself to that. is the church. As a child of God, you cannot limit yourself to the salary that you receive. You have to allow God to be your supplier. He is your all in all. Jesus is the Savior in everything in your life. He is your provider of everything. Your job is not your provider. Your God is your provider. And He uses your job as one avenue to provide for you. But that is not the only avenue. And the devil wants to pervert the Word of God and twist our minds and brainwash us to the point where we just depend on ourselves and our own human thinking, our own human power or strength, or the way that we could think of doing something instead of allowing God to direct us, to guide us, and to bring us to the point where we actually complete our purpose for living on the face of this earth. And your purpose is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your purpose is to be a witness for Jesus and the glory of God in the face of Jesus so that other people might know Him also. That's your purpose for living on this earth. There's no other purpose for you being here. Yeah, but my children, yeah, you are to live like that for your children and for everybody else around you. Amen. Are you with me? See, this is what missionaries always talk about. You can't get away without talking about the gospel and preaching the gospel around the world and making disciples and so forth if you're around a missionary, because that's what missionaries do. That's what they were sent to do. That's what they'll do the rest of their life. You can't get away from it. But you are a missionary too, and you heard that all your life growing up in church. Yeah, you're a missionary. I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary. Yeah, I'm a missionary. But you know what? You really have to take that seriously. Because the purpose of your life is to glorify God. And you get all the benefits. The New Testament gives you all the benefits, but it also gives you the responsibility to be the representative of Jesus Christ on the earth. And you get all the good stuff. It's automatic. If you just believe in Him, you're supposed to get it. The thing is, we don't believe. Oh, I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Word. I believe this Word. Yeah, when the first temptation or trial comes, let's see. Because if you believe the Word, you'll still act the same when the trial or the temptation or the pressure's on. That's how you tell if you believe or not. We all have a long way to grow up. We're all working on it. But there is a way that faith comes, and that's by spending time with God. You know, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to spend time in this Word, and you've got to spend time in the presence of God so that He can infiltrate your being and change your thinking and change the processes of what's going through you. If you don't spend time with Him, it's not going to happen. You can spend time everywhere else, but if you don't spend time with God, you will have no strength, you'll have no wisdom, you'll not know any direction for your life that really makes a difference. It's your time with God, it's your personal relationship with Him that makes all the difference. Coming to church is not enough, although you ought to be coming to church. Isn't that right, Pastor Roger?
Amen.
The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Boy, I got that out in English. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be coming together as a body to encourage one another, exhort one another, build one another up. All those words, like in Spanish, exhortándonos, animándonos, edificándonos, all those wonderful words. I just said what I said in English and Spanish. But it means that one another, we're doing these things with one another as believers. Edifying one another, building one another up, animando is... encouraging one another. All these things. We're supposed to be every believer. It doesn't say the pastor, it doesn't say the minister, it doesn't say the guy in front. It's a thing that's between us, all of us believers, going on all the time. That's what we're supposed to be doing in the body. So that when we're out there, we're all built up. But see, it all depends on Jesus in your life. It all depends on the Father in your life, the Spirit of God that's been placed inside of you, He strengthens you. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the direction for your personal life. Without Him, there is nothing. This is what the Christian life is all about. It's a relationship. It's not a religion only. We can call it a religion, that's fine, but without the relationship, it's just another dead religion. You have to define religion sometimes. A lot of people say, oh, religion ain't no good, but the Bible uses the word religion. You just have to define what religion means. True religion is, James says, is, you know, when you know to do right, and you ought to do it. And when you see people and you can help them, you ought to help them. Because you believe. Amen? Your life ought to make a difference. Jesus ought to be flowing through your heart into this world. And that's what preaching the gospel is about. You announce it by your life every day. People see. People are watching. They know. When you do the right thing, and I don't know how many times people, you know, you give the money back when they make the wrong change. Or you say, this belongs to you, or they make a mistake and you correct them and you could have just walked off with it, you know. In Honduras, you do that. It's just like, what is wrong with this picture? They can't believe it, that somebody would be honest enough to do that. That is a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know how many people are not honest. That's a footprint into somebody's life, that there's something different out there that maybe they have not known yet. We live in a country, we've lived there for 20 years now, that we come back to the United States and we're starting to see things happen here that we've been watching for 20 years, because they've grown up in a certain culture. And when you don't know, when you reject the knowledge of God and the ways of God, and go your own way, and you have all the good things, guess what? The good things start going away. Things start falling apart. And that's what's happening in our country. Most people, there's a lot of people don't even know who Jesus really is anymore. Generations of young people that don't know who He really is. Never heard the true message. But that's our job. That's the church's job. Church's job is just not to come together and have a good meeting and have fun. It's to edify one another, exhort one another, build one another up, know the truth of God, live the truth of God, and contaminate other people with the truth of God. That is our life. Contaminate. You are a virus waiting to happen. Amen. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a woman who put leaven in 3 measures of flour. Pretty soon the whole thing was leavened. Now, usually, you know, the Bible talks about leaven as something bad. But in this case, he was telling a parable. If you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, wherever God puts you, and you start having effect, pretty soon you have an effect on everything around you. And you don't even have to try if you're just following God. Being a Christian is not trying. It's just living for Jesus and walking with Him and doing what He tells you to do, and everything else is going to be touched by your life. It's not trying in your mind to figure it out in a human way. You couldn't figure it out if you tried anyway. Reach the whole world. How are you going to do that? Preach to every creature on the face. How are you going to do that? Try to figure that one out. But He's got it all planned out. And you're part of the answer. I'm here to encourage you You know, we've been out there, and they call us on the front line, but we just live, you know, we live every day just like you do. We go to the grocery store. Well, I go to the grocery store. We have to buy food and cook it. She's busy doing other things. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Oh, yeah, but that's women's work. All you need is God's principles and live God's principles. And if your culture is in the way, then you just keep living for Jesus and don't worry about culture unless you're going to offend somebody. And then you just kind of live according to the way they live so that they're not offended, as long as you don't break the word of God. But you know, you have to do what you need to do. The Lord calls you to do something, and when you know to do it and you know what has to be done to do it, you just do what you're supposed to do so the job gets done. Yeah, but I don't like that part. Well, sometimes you got to do the part you don't like administration. I do not like administration. I could do anything else all day long except administration. Sometimes I just put the administration over there and I start doing other things like I forget about it, you know, until it catches up with you. But you got to attend to those things too. But you cannot make your life in the things that you're not gifted. You have to make your life out of the things you're gifted to do because God gifted you for that reason. So you have to put more importance on where you're gifted so that your gifts produce fruit in the kingdom of God. But you still have to do the things you don't like to do once in a while. And then you have to delegate it when you get the chance. So we got some good administrators, and I've been delegating more and more, so I'm just kind of floating around a little bit more easy these days. But in your life, now I'm going far afield here today, a little bit. The thing is, the gospel is preached by all of us, and we're all called to preach the gospel. You're not all called to be a pastor. You're not all called to be a teacher of the Word of God in group settings. But we're all called to share the truth and be a witness for Jesus Christ and teach somebody else what we've learned. We all can make disciples. You don't have to know everything, but you can teach what you know. And if you don't know, then yeah, most of us want to teach everything. We don't know anything. You got to learn before you can teach. You got to be a good follower before you can be a good leader. Most of us want to be the chief and not the Indian. And then we fall into all these problems because we were the blind leading the blind, and we all fall in the ditch, and then we got to dig ourselves out. All these are principles in the Word of God that He teaches. And if we learn to live in them, we will complete the purpose for our life, whether that be service. No, I'm talking about, there's all kinds of service, but I'm talking about service in natural things. You know, we came in here today, and it's a wonderful place to be. You know, and the presence of God is here, and the peace of God is here. And when people come here, they sense that. But why is that? It's because you're all working together. All of you are doing something. And if you're sitting there in the chair today and you're not doing anything in the body, I'm going to give you a little poke. You have giftings that will allow you to do something that will bless other people, whether inside the church or outside the church, to cause the church to grow. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you. You're the church. And you are called to do something within the body and to cause the body to grow, whether mature or to bring more people into the body. You know, Jesus wants heaven populated. He doesn't want it just kind of like sparse up there, you know. You know, if you think, like, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to have a lot of space because not many other people are going, you're out of the will of God. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it does also say that the road is narrow, you know, and there aren't many that find it. And we don't like to hear that one because we want, oh man, we want to win everybody. We want a big church. We want just a honking big group of people. And then when it doesn't happen, we go, oh Jesus, what's wrong? Jesus, what's wrong? The road is narrow. That's what's wrong. Not everybody's going to receive Jesus. That's a fact, but that's not what we want. And that's not what the Lord wants. But that's something that he has already accepted, because he's the one that said, those that believe will be saved, and those not will be damned. He's already reconciled that. The great God of the universe that can do anything, that's nothing is impossible for him, has already reconciled that fact. We have to reconcile that fact in our own heart. In the fact that we're a messenger and we can't save anybody. Only he can. And try as hard as we want, and you can even try to manipulate people, but you know what? You can't manipulate people into the gospel. It's impossible. You can't convince people by your own human reasoning and trick them into receiving Christ. That don't work with God. With God, it's transparent here. It's like, you know, they understand with their eyes wide open coming in, because if they don't, it don't work. People have to know that God loves them and accept the fact that he loves them and comes to him because he loves them. That's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the message that has to be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. Personally, I think we have, you know, about 4 to 5 years. I give us a window about that much time to finish. That means we got some work to do. Jesus said that we should be looking up when all these things start to happen. Well, guess what? Are all these things happening? You know, I pulled up on the computer a few months ago the statistics on terremotos, earthquakes. Starting in 1900 through the whole last century. There's just a few major quakes. You know what happened through the whole century? You know how many are going on now compared to then? It's like a curve like this. Whoop! How did birth pains start? And where do they go? Jesus said that's the way it would be. Are you getting the drift? See where we're going? No, those things have always been happening. And Jesus said, oh, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and all these things will happen, but the end is not yet. All those things have been happening all the time since he left. But then there's a key. There's one sign that was kind of not there, mixed in with all the other ones. It's a nation. It's called Israel. That's kind of the key part. And then all these other signs are other signs he gave. And then there's one sign that you and I have to accomplish. And that's preach the gospel to all nations, then the end shall come. So all these other things you have nothing to do with, but the one you do have something to do with, that's your part and that's my part. And that's our purpose for being here. You cannot lose sight and focus of the purpose for your life here on the planet now that you're a Christian. You know, when you got born again, he could have took you to heaven. It would have been better for you. How much suffering and pain have you gone through since you became a Christian? Anybody here? Huh? Anybody, like, you know, had any pain or suffering since you became a Christian? Would have been a little bit better to be in heaven, I think. Yes or no? Who agrees? Okay, well, then there's a reason you're here. There's a reason that you've been living a natural life on this earth, and that purpose is so that Jesus is known to others. Your life is a testimony, and the glory of God coming off of you causes other people to know him also. And he's with you always. He said he'd never abandon you, even though you do suffer different things. You know what? You're still here, and you're still winning.
I don't feel like I'm winning And Brother Gary, I feel like I'm just about ready to throw in the towel.
I felt that way a few times myself. But you know what? Every time I feel like that way, there's somebody on my shoulder. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, He reminds me, be quiet. Repent. Love. You know, all the things He always says, the most He ever talks about is repent, change, love. That's the main thing. It's all centered around that. If you can repent, that just means change. If you can do that, you're going to win. But you're here for that reason and that purpose. I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 5. We live in a world that is controlled by the devil. You know that. How many know that? The world is controlled by the devil. I'm not talking about everybody in the world. I'm talking about the world, those that don't know Jesus, and the systems and the governments and everything else. They're controlled by the devil. Unless there's people of the Lord in positions where they make the difference. But when they don't make the difference, or when they're not in the positions, then things go downhill. But Isaiah chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 20. And just remember these things. The Lord talks about when nations and things get into a certain point, and he reveals what happens. Verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice for the righteous man. I would say that we are living in the middle of something like this. Us more than you, where we live, and we've been experiencing it for a lot longer than you have. There's been some of that. But over the years, things have increased in the United States of America. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. When you reject God, when you reject His principle, when you reject His word, here's the results. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against His people. He's talking about Israel here, His people, but this would be for any nation. You know, Israel wasn't really good about following God, even when they were called His people. And most of them wondering is His people anyway, because they didn't believe. There was always a remnant. Today, the church is a remnant. The true church is a remnant. But there's a lot of people around saying they're Christian. They're not. You can't go around killing babies and say you believe in Jesus Christ. Hello. You can't deny the word of God and say that you are a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could talk about a lot of things that are not PC, politically correct. But you're not called to be politically correct. You're called to follow Jesus Christ. Be His witness. Manifest the glory of God in the earth. How are they going to know if you don't tell them or show them? Well, you know, you can't say that because... Well, who's going to say the truth if the church doesn't? The church is the only thing that has the truth. No one else does. Who are you trusting in? If you're trusting in the government, you've got a problem. If you're trusting in man, you've got a problem. If you're trusting in yourself, you've got a problem. The truth will make you free. Yeah, but they're going to persecute me. We'll get to that in a minute. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And you can read on, and there's other consequences that follow, but these are the first ones. If you go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 28, you'll see the curses, and you'll see how it increases. It starts with a certain amount of things, and then it gets worse and worse and worse. When you leave the knowledge of God and you come against what principles are, of the truth are, and you don't live them, then things start falling apart. And these things happen first, and then other things, and then worse things, and then worse things. It says here that their carcasses will be as refuse in the streets. Believe me, we see that in Honduras. There's murders every day, and there's young people, and their carcasses are left in the streets and in the fields and everywhere else, and they have to go pick them up. That's because people refuse the knowledge of God. But we have a lot of Christians in Honduras too. And there's a difference. There's a big battle. Say, oh, what's wrong? You know what? What's wrong? Light and darkness. That's what's wrong. You say, why are all these bad things happening in Honduras? Light and darkness. Big battle going on. We got a lot of people who are born again in Honduras. Percentage-wise, probably more than there are in the United States. I don't know. But the thing is, because a lot of people believe in God or that he exists. But the other thing, you know, do they believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? There's two parts to faith. You believe that he exists, but he's also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They believe that he exists, but they're not looking for him. Hello? And so, what group do you fall in? I know you fall in the second. You believe God's a rewarder, and you're seeking him. And we need to seek him. We're just saying, seeking him, want more, thing. But see, you're here for a reason. Your purpose is to glorify Jesus. Lift up his name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you can't mix it with something else. But we see hundreds of young people killed every year. Their bodies are left. Murders left and right. As in the days of Noah. Well, I didn't know that was going on in the days of Noah. Every thought continued was of evil. There were so many homicides that after the flood, God instituted capital punishment. That's why he instituted capital punishment after the flood, you know. Because before the flood, they were killing each other off. As in the days of Noah. Well, and they continued to do business. Married, given in marriage. All the normal things. But evil men will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is the world that we live in. Jesus is coming back. We are the church, his body. We have a job to complete. He said the end ain't going to come until we do. So let's just get it over with and go to heaven. I much prefer that. Don't you? Just start meditating on heaven one day if you're not really ready to go yet. You ought to be ready to go. Jesus said, look up, your salvation. When you see all these things happening, look up, for your salvation draweth nigh. You're trying to scare. No, I'm not trying to scare. I'm just telling you the truth. If this is the time, this is the time. But if it's not, at least you have reached your generation. Jesus said you ought to be occupied. You ought to be doing the work. You ought to be ready. You ought to be, you know, not just goofing off, doing whatever. You ought to be in the work. You ought to be doing what he's called you to do. You have to live? Yes. You still live your life. But living your life, you're a witness for Jesus Christ. You are living for Him. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. What time? Oh, we got it right up here. You need a miracle? God will give you a miracle. You need healing? God will give you healing. Jesus paid the price. You just need belief. God will do it. You need to start speaking. You need to start believing it. Just saying it every day and just living like it's true. Because it is. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to die young. My whole family did. You know, we got a fellow in our church. All his brothers and sisters died. And he's like 70-something, and he's running all over the place preaching and serving God. The rest of his family died in their 40s or 50s. All of them. He's running strong as ever, praising the Lord. See, the curse isn't yours. Any curse that comes, you need to go be looking at your family, what happened with your family and everything. I don't know why I'm getting off here, but somebody probably needs to hear this. You don't need to believe just because somebody says something that it's true. Just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it always has to be that way. If you're in Jesus Christ, you've been born again, you've been blessed of the Lord, you just need to get off of that stuff and get rid of it. Quit thinking about it. Quit agreeing with it. Live your life out to the full. Yeah, but I don't know if God wants me to live a long time. You know what? In Proverbs, it tells you how to live a long life. If God didn't want you to live a long life, He wouldn't have told you how to do it. Are you with me? 2 Timothy chapter 3. I keep wanting to read. I got a Spanish-English here. I keep wanting to read the Spanish. Verse 10. 2 Timothy. I love 2 Timothy. It's a great book. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. I said before, they're going to persecute you. You will be persecuted. In other words, people, they're not going to like what you do or the way you live. And because they feel bad about that, then they attack you with word or in other ways. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In other words, they're going to put pressure on you. They're going to come after you one way or another. Maybe not in the beginning here that they're not going to come out to take your life away from you, but eventually we'll get to that. Jesus said it would. Well, maybe the church will go first. Maybe so. Maybe that will be for the believers that come afterwards. I don't know for sure. You know, I've studied the Bible for a long time. He's going to do it the way He's going to do it, and we're going to just keep trusting Him, no matter what. You're going to have to come to that conclusion. But here, the persecution is pressure that comes against you to shut you up and to quit living for Jesus and quit doing the right thing. If you want to live righteous, you're going to be persecuted. People are going to talk about you. If you get your healings hurt, you need to go into the presence of God long enough that you are so secure that He loves you. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Are you with me this morning? This is the issue that a lot of people have, and this is the issue I had for years, and I still haven't completely conquered it, but we're trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Worried about what other people think about you. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. It matters what Jesus thinks about you. And what Jesus thinks about you is, you're the greatest. That's why He came and died for you. That's why He paid the price for you. That's why He saved you. That's why He made you the way He made you. He's got a purpose for your life. He loves you so much. He loves you so much, He just gave everything for you. And when you realize that, that's why you got saved. But you need to realize that to the point where it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. When you get to that point, you'll say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done, and it doesn't matter. Because you serve Him first, because He loves you first, and He loves you the most. And when everybody else leaves you, He's still there. And when you failed, everybody else, and everybody else left, guess who's still there? Anybody ever fail in here? Anybody learn that He's still with you? Even when you did? That's why He's God. That's why He's so good. He's the only one like that. There ain't nobody else like that. But He wants you to be like that. And He will give you the power to do it. Stick with Him. Stick by Him. Stick in there with Him. Intertwine your life with Him. And be like Paul. And that from he says here, but you continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Look, it's in Jesus Christ and only in Him. There is no other way. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's God's voice in you. Through this and the Holy Spirit in you that establishes you in all that you are to be and all that you are to do. He is your all in all. You read it in your song, you sang it, but we all have to come to that point where we really believe that. He is your all. There is no salvation in anybody else. He is your Savior in all things. He will save you out of anything. He will pick you up every time you fall. He will give you direction every time you need it. Yeah, but I just can't. Quit being nervous. Quit being afraid. You'll hear Him. Yeah, but I don't know. Just keep walking. He'll tell you. Yeah, but I don't know if it's... Stop. That's the worst thing you can do. Get afraid and full of doubt. Just put that off to one side and relax. The Bible says when you have faith, you rest. If you're not walking with God. If you're worried, if you're fearful, if you're doubtful, you're not walking with the Lord. You need to put those things down and just rest and seek Him and have the confidence that He will direct you. Because He will. He said He would. I told you, once I get started, it's hard to stop. Especially when people are listening. The apostolic gift and the prophetic gift work a little different than other gifts. When people start opening their heart, then the Lord just starts funneling stuff out. Start speaking to people. Touching different things. Prophetic is even deeper. It says, ooh, man, when that starts, look out. But see, the apostolic gift, the missionary gift, the one that's sent to preach and teach and things like that, that gift gives more direction and encouragement, and focus about the gospel and the commission, things like that. And you must remember at all times your purpose for being here is your life belongs to Jesus because His life is in you and your life is to manifest Him. And you get all the benefit. Of course, you get the persecution with it. We always chuckle about that. But the persecution comes with it. He said it. He said, you'll get if you leave lands, brother, sister, mother, you'll get all this 100 times more and persecutions. Why? You have an enemy. He does not like you. He does not like the gospel. He does not like anybody getting saved. He doesn't want anybody getting in His way. You got to remember, He wants to be God. He thinks He is. He's totally deranged. And so he's going to try to stop the truth any way possible. But you have greater is he that's in you that's in the world. Yeah, but what if they kill me? You get to go to heaven. He said, why are you talking this way? Because the day will come when the world will get to that point where they just cannot stand us anymore. And they'll get so perverted that the only way they can get rid of it is to really get rid of us. You say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it either. But it's just the way it is. Because you are not only in a physical life. You're in a spiritual life, which is much more real than what you're living out here. This is all going to go away. Fear not them that can kill the body, but he that can throw your soul into hell. In other words, don't fear people. Don't fear what the devil's doing through other people, the persecutions. Don't fear that. It's only physical. But if you don't realize, you know, see, many people are not taught. We're not taught that what you have in this body is not going to be always what you have. One day it's going to change. And that body's become a spiritual body that can come here and go there and do whatever. But you are subject to it right now. And this is where we are right now. And one day that will change. It will not always be this way. You will not always have pain. You will not always suffer. You will not always be under persecution. You will not always be living this life in this world. One day, everything's going to change. And Jesus is going to come down here and he's going to rule this place the way it ought to be done. Then after that comes the final judgment after 1,000 years. But for 1,000 years, he's going to rule this earth the way it ought to be ruled. No taking bribes. Probably ain't going to be any lawyers. Anybody does anything, they're caught. There ain't going to be nothing going on that, you know, don't get caught. And it's going to be that way. But you know, after 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loosed again, and people are still going to believe him. After 1,000 years, there's still people going to just, oh yeah, and they're going to rebel against God and against Jesus, the perfect ruler, who always judges with righteousness and righteous judgment, and there's never any failure in his government. After 1,000 years of that, there's still people going to just, nah, you know, the devil comes on, hey, man, you know what? Let's do it our own way. And it says, there's going to be so many people, they're going to come up from the breadth of the earth against the camp of God. But they're not going to last very long. It says, a fire comes down from heaven and boom, that's it. So Peter says, if all these things are going to happen, sort of life ought we have? Yeah. If all this is true, what kind of a life ought we be living? I'm sorry, my English isn't quite right there. I just, you know, Spanish really messes you up sometimes. But what type of a life are you living? Have you examined yourself? Have you got before the Lord and said, Lord, show me, cleanse me. Make me into what I really am. Inside you are what you really are, but on the outside it just hasn't gotten out yet. This thing gets in the way. The more time you spend with him, he cleanses it, changes it. And then this stuff on the inside starts coming out. The life of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the real love of God that never fails. We're all working on it, but he wants us to focus on it, live it. Because what I all said this morning is all true. It's all right here, every word of it. I try not to say anything that's not in here or agreement with here. That's why I said, I don't know, I ain't got it all figured out, you know, about when he's coming and when the rapture's going to be. And you know, I believe it's coming, you know, at the beginning. But maybe it'll come down, you know, a little bit later. We're still called to trust him and live for him. And make sure everybody hears the message so that they can too. That's why he gave his life. Not just for you, but for everybody on the face of this earth. Yeah, but I don't like that guy over there. Pray for him. You'll start loving him. Jesus said, pray for those that hate you and persecute you, do all manner of evil against you. All those things, you're supposed to do good to them. You're supposed to pray for them. You're supposed to bless them. That's the gospel. That is not the world. The world says, hate them, beat on them, do evil to them, take vengeance. The gospel says, love them, pray for them, bless them. Still with me? Are you sure? I don't know how I can do that. Well, you can't in your flesh and your humanity, but Jesus is inside of you. And if you give your life and let him guide you, take control, you can do it. Because the power of God is greater. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Lord, I thank you that the word brings encouragement, brings instruction, brings correction. Thank you that it rebukes us when we need it. Thank you that it puts us back into the path where we're supposed to be. Father, this morning, all these different words that I've spoken, Father, believing it's your Holy Spirit upon me and that the anointing in me, that it's placed deep in our hearts, and that we can live these things because we're trusting in you and you alone. Change us. Cleanse the pathways of our mind. Give a free flow, Father, of truth and of the power and love of God. They soon we pray, knowing that they are your will and that you will do them as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.